Bhagavad Lila, 10th canto, chapter 54, continued, part 2, Krishna Rukmini Vivaha. We left off discussing about the comparison of the prema of the Brajagopis, Samartha prema, versus the Dwarka Mahishi's prema, or Rukmini's prema, which is Samanjasa prema. Although there's some slight less prema in the queens, one should not think that the general characteristic of prema, which is exclusive possessiveness of Krishna in a loving relationship, is lacking in Rukmini. Since within herself, Rukmini actually had no affection at all for her brother Rukmi and other demons. Exclusive possessiveness for the beloved is explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 4.2.2. When one is completely apathetic to all other objects and has developed an exclusive sense of ownership or possessiveness in relationship to Krishna, thinking Krishna and no one else as his object of love, such an awakening is called Prema Bhakti by Bhishma, Prahlad, Uddhava, and Narada. And then Rukmini prayed to Krishna to spare her brother, who Krishna had just arrested after he tried to attack Krishna. So she said, "O my Lord, you possess inconceivably great transcendental opulences. Well, my brother Rukmini is the most insignificant of those who are controlled by you. You are the immeasurable one, and he is like an insect among the limited. You are the supreme among the devas, deva-deva. And Rukmi is the lowest among humans because he is inimical to you. You are Jagatpate, the protector of the universe. And though Rukmi is evil because he is within your universe, he should be protected. Therefore, O Kalyan, auspicious one, with mighty arms, Mahabhuj, you should not kill this inauspicious person, my brother Rukmi, who has no power in his arms. Out of fear of the, quote, worldly rule that one's sister is the personification of mercy, Dayaya Bhagini Murti, Rukmini was compassionate to her envious, angry brother Rukmi, even though Rukmi was wicked and opposed to her and wanted to prevent her marriage to Krishna. And if she had been married to Shishupal, as was the desire of Rukmi, then Rukmi would have been the cause of Rukmini's giving up her life. Krishna shared Rukmini's compassion. Thinking Rukmi should never come and do mischief again, Krishna showed his contempt for Rukmi by cutting off his hair and his head here and there and marking his body with some ugly features to let him remember his defeat and dissolve in his pride. Krishna tied Rukmi up by the neck with a strip of cloth using his left hand. While holding up the two ends of that cloth, Krishna took his sword in his right hand, knocked off Rukmi's turban, then shaved off bits of his mustache, beard, and hair at the root, drawing blood. With scraps of hair remaining here and there, Rukmi looked completely disfigured. Out of compassion, Balaram took the cloth that Krishna was holding in his left hand and released Rukmi from the noose. Balaram said, "Brother, death itself would have been more proper than shaving Rukmi with your sword, which has made his face ghastly." Balaram gently reproached Krishna in order to console the lamenting Rukmini. Internally, however, Balaram was thinking, "Oh, most clever brother, who have done what is proper and acted quite rightly. To dispel Rukmini's sadness, Balaram said, O saintly lady, do not be displeased with us out of anxiety for your brother's disfigurement. Everyone must suffer or enjoy the results of his acts. What is this useless affection you have for this most wicked person who acts against your own husband? In this way, Balaram gently scolded Rukmini. In order to satisfy Rukmini, Balaram turned to Krishna and instructed him in morality by saying, A relative should not be killed by a relative, and a brother-in-law should not be killed by the sister's husband. Turning to Rukmini, Balaram continued, Balaram speaks to Rukmini, who is saying in her mind, But your younger brother does not know this rule. So Balaram said, The scriptures order that one should even kill one's brother. What to speak then of a brother-in-law who is so vile? But, Rukmini is thinking to herself, a Kshatriya may have to kill his relative, but he should not disfigure him in such a ghastly way. To satisfy Rukmini, Balaram then spoke to Krishna. O Krishna, proud fellows abuse others in order to get land, money, and power, but we should not do this. Turning to Rukmini, Balaram said, But this rule is for situations other than war. In war, however, the rule is that the enemy should be defeated and made insignificant. Guessing that this was Krishna's internal thought, Balaram then spoke to Rukmini. The good done by Krishna to your own well-wishers and family members like Rukmi, namely shaving his hair, that you think is bad, is an unfair attitude on your part. This is the biased attitude of you who are nonetheless wise. I know quite well that my brother, then Rukmini's, if Rukmini says, I know quite well that my brother Rukmi is evil, but still I have some attachment as a relative. What can I do? If Rukmini asks this, then Balaram answers, Certainly, for an elevated person like you, such bad judgment is not proper. But for worldly people, this is their natural tendency. For those who think that the bodies are themselves, there is such bewilderment, but not for those in knowledge. In two verses, Balaram refutes the misconception of those who think the body is the self. He states that the body is not the supersoul. The supreme soul is certainly the only mover of the embodied souls. The Lord, as a supersoul, pervades all things, as fire permeates wood, and so he appears to be of many varieties, though he is the absolute one without a second. The body is not the soul. This body, which you think is to be protected because he is a relative or your elder brother Rukmi, or to be killed because he is an enemy, consists of three aspects of the physical elements. Dravya, Pran, and Gun, and the modes of nature. It is produced for the soul by ignorance and makes the soul rotate in the cycle of birth and death under the control of attraction and repulsion. O intelligent lady, because the soul is tainted by contact with the body appears to be the self. Actually, however, there is never any contact of the soul with the body. Neither the super soul nor the individual soul have any contact with the material body. The soul is the cause of matter assembling itself into a material body. Although the soul manifests the material body, it is not contaminated by it. How can the producer be contaminated by that which it manifests? The soul has no connection with the body because it also has no birth or death. Then how does the self experience, I am born, I am child, I am old man, I am woman? Just as there is birth for the moon's phases, but not for the moon itself, similarly, due to the demise of the phases, or the new moon day is called death of the moon, In the same way, when the material body is destroyed, the term death is conveniently applied to the self. The living being has no intimate connection with the material world. By the inconceivable, the self is never actually in contact with the body, but by the inconceivable potency of ignorance, Maya, he imagines his connection with the body and experiences material life. Just like a present person who is dreaming experiences himself conquering countries with a vast army, enjoying the fruits of victory, garlands, sandalwood paste, and beautiful women, sometimes he also experiences defeat, bondage, beating, and abuse. In the same way, the unintelligent person experiences in an unreal way the world of happiness and distress due to his association with the material body. Although material life has no factual existence, it does not go away for one who is meditating on sense enjoyment, just as the unpleasant experiences of a dream do not disappear. Because of all these truths of transcendental knowledge, you should become well composed, Rukmini Devi, and resume your natural mood. Please smile and show the natural blossoming of your beautiful face, rather than grieving like an ordinary material bride. Rukmini composed herself by giving up the depression of thinking, "What will people say about me?" As Rukmini walked away from Krishna, he was insulted by the Yadu soldiers with abuses and curses and chastisements. Because before he attacked Krishna, Rukmini promised not to return to the city of Kundina unless he had killed Krishna, he took up residence outside and built a large city called Bhojakata, the place where he would experience misery as a result of his vow to offer Rukmini to Shishupal. Thus defeating all the opposing kings, Krishna brought Rukmini to his capital and married her according to Vedic regulations. The Dwarkavasis, who had exclusive love for Krishna, Ananya Bhavanam, began celebrating his victory and returned to the city of Dwarka. Everyone was joyful, presented so many wedding presents for the groom and bride, household utensils, etc. The city of the Brishnis was so beautiful. There were tall flagpoles decorated, appeared like architectural columns. The streets were sprinkled with mud from maddened elephants of the friendly kings attending the wedding. The doorways were ornamented with tall banana trees and betel nut trees. Everything was cleansed and beautiful and attractive and ecstatic. Everyone in Dwarka was overjoyed to see the marriage of Krishna and Rukmini. Dwarakayam budrajan mahamoda purokasam Rukminya Rama Yopetam Dristwa Krishnam Shriyapatim Sri Rukmini Krishna Vivaha Ki Jai.